This is the Radio Pet Vet Show with America's pet vet, Dr. Randy Aronson. Dr. Randy Aronson has been healing animals for over 30 years, utilizing Eastern and Western medicine. Joining Dr. Randy is Paul Blauschild, training dogs professionally for over 40 years. Call now, 888-520-7297, for questions about health and wellness, food therapy, herbs and supplements, and behavioral issues. 888-520-7297.
Good morning. Welcome to Radio Pet Vet. I'm Dr. Randy Aronson, back from the Ireland. I'll say that a couple times. The Ireland Island and New York City. Welcome to the show. Great to be here in the Southwest, where we're experiencing our first 100 degree days. For those of you that I hope are having a little bit mellow weather, other than things like Dallas and Houston and obviously California drought, we're happy to be on the radio and happy to be back in the station. I want to remind you that our phone lines are live at 888-520-7297. We also are streaming audio and video on drrandypetvet.com. Director Bob is working on video stream and doing all he can. And we've got our phone up and we've got our board up. Everything's working great. And Shane is here trying to produce. We don't have Mr. Pauly Blauschild today. He, I believe, isn't he in Florida, Shane? Or where is he?
Yes, he's.
Do we know where he is? Where's Pauly B? It's got to be like a Waldo thing, you know? Where's Pauly B?
He's visiting the Great Sunshine State.
He is. I thought we were the Great Sunshine State. No, not sure. Anyway, we're happy to be here and happy to remind you that the show is the show that celebrates the ever-important human-animal bond. And we always talk about my mnemonic, which is pets, proper nutrition, exercise, training, and stress reduction. And I had a little stress reduction for a couple weeks, so if you hear me lapsing in our radio broadcast, you know that I'm so mellow that I'm having a hard time keeping up with doing this show. But what do you think, Shane? Is that a possibility? Or
Sláinte, Doc.
What's that?
Sláinte.
Yeah, right. There you go. So I'm really, really excited today because in the studio with me is a very dear friend of mine. In my mind, and he's, you know, he won't take, you know, credit for any of this, is probably one of the best surgeons I know, veterinary surgeons I know, but certainly the best veterinary dentist I know. Dr. Rocco Maley is with me from East Point Veterinary Clinic. Good morning, Rocco. How are you?
Just fine, Randy. How are you?
We're doing great.
Good.
It's really exciting because a video of a lion dental procedure brought us together today. Not that we need any excuses to get together, but I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Dr. Maley. He's been a veterinarian for probably as long as I've been. How many years now for you?
Oh, almost 43 years.
43 years. Actually, he's been a veterinarian longer than I have. He looks a lot younger than I am because he's a young guy. But and you know, in the past, he really has been very focused around canine and feline surgery, but really with a specialty right now in dental procedures. And you know, probably one of the most advanced guys I know in the dental world. And you know, one of the things that he and I have had to fight over our careers is the whole specialty training, board certification thing. And I'm not trying to bring this up as a bad subject for either one of us, but, you know, when you practice for 35 and 43 years, a lot of knowledge and common sense comes to the board. And when you have interest in things like myself with integrative medicine and rehab medicine and yourself, surgery and dentistry, it's pretty hard to touch, even with these new specialists coming out of school and the certifications that go on. And, you know, we got an email just this week about we're going to talk about on the radio show in a little while. And the guy said to me, well, I wanted to come to a specialist. And you and I can't say that about ourselves, even though we do have advanced training and all of the things that we're interested in. We're not board certified specialists. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference between that. But let me tell you, I would send my dog and cat to this man anytime for anything that needs to happen surgically or dental procedure-wise. And so thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I really enjoy being here. I enjoy seeing you a lot. So
So we, I think Bob was playing the video for Aslan, and we were going to talk about this video because mm-hmm. it's gotten a lot of hits and it's very interesting. And even though you and I at this time in our lives don't do a lot of wildlife and zoo animals, we're really focused on our companion pets. And as I've talked about on this show many, many times, dental health is really tantamount to major health. And the thing that people don't understand, Rocco, is that a lot of times animals really show dental disease in different ways. And maybe talk a little bit about some of the things that we were discussing, and maybe this whole lion situation, if we could. And we are watching the video of that at this point. So talk a little bit about dental disease and kind of how it presents, because some of it's obvious, but some of it's not so.
Definitely, it's a lot of dental disease and oral disease is not obvious. And one of the things is the owners, the guardians of these pets, they really don't they can't pick up on it. Because the dog and the cat, they eat, they run around a little bit, they do what they do. But many times on presentation, as you look in the mouth, as we always do, we see some really horrible periodontal disease. We see fractured teeth. And they're definitely uncomfortable. And what I know about this is when we do the work, when we finish up the work on the pet, probably 1 week to 2 weeks later, it's amazing what the owners come back and tell me, this is a different dog.
Yep.
This is a different cat. And they never realized that there was a problem.
Yeah. And that, and even going a little further, you and I talked about this earlier, is the whole behavioral problem.
Absolutely.
And, we see some of our middle-aged and older animals that become aggressive suddenly or are having trouble with a companion mate in their home.
Exactly.
And people don't realize that, if it was you and I mean, I remember before I went on my trip on Ireland, I had an acute pain in my mouth, and went to my dentist very quickly, diagnosed probably a root problem, and immediately went to the endodontist, had a root canal done, and in really no less than 24 hours was back to normal.
It's true.
I was a much happier guy,
I remember one time I was practicing in Hawaii for a while. This was a long time ago. And I had a problem with my tooth. I had an abscess tooth. And I went over to the dentist or the endodontist, whatever.
Right.
I went over to see him, and I was waiting for him in the parking lot. I was sitting on the curb. And I was getting so mad. When this guy came, I was so upset at him, and he knew it too. Not because I didn't even know the guy,
right?
But just because I was in so much pain and
right.
so uncomfortable, and that's what it'll do. It'll just make you very irritable. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to talk until it's taken care of. As soon as he fixed the tooth, as soon as he opened it up and drained, I was fine. It's unbelievable.
And the other thing that I want to kind of relay to our listeners is the secondary problems with dental disease in all of our bodies. I mean, this is not just in dogs and cats. We're talking about ourselves, too. The body forms antigen-antibody complexes. These get deposited on the kidney when your mouth is infected. There's bacteria that can get shed to the heart, to the liver. And all of these things cause secondary systemic
Absolutely.
Effects. And I even go as far as saying, and I don't, I may not be completely right about this, but I've gone as far as saying that I would say 75% of all of the kidney failure in cats that I see is dental caused.
It's hard to say. It probably is. There's a lot of kidney problems, a lot of heart valvular problems, and really with chronic periodontal disease, we see a lot of gastrointestinal problems.
Sure.
I mean, there's absolutely, and it's true in people too. Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the Aslan video and what happened with him. They were showing him on the table, and they were doing some dental work, but maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
So this was a lion that basically was getting aggressive, I understood. He was in a preserve, is that correct?
He was in a preserve, I believe, and he was just standoffish. I mean, everybody was pushing him aside, sort of so-called the pride was pushing him away. And he was getting very irritable, and I think they finally pinpointed the problem. They discovered under an anesthetic what was going on, and he had a horrible fractured upper left canine, maxillary canine, fractured mandibular canine, couple fractured incisors, which is very, very uncomfortable. And it's a discomfort that goes on daily.
Yes.
They feel this constant. It never goes away.
Yep.
Hey, Doc, Dr. Rocco, just so for our listeners, so when you say
canine, and then you said, what was the other one, maxillary canine?
The one that was fractured off completely, and the root tip or the root was left in, was the upper left maxillary canine. It's the big one in the top. And then he also fractured a lower left mandibular canine. These are the big teeth that cats and dogs have.
And I know Bob, our director's playing the video. Mm-hmm. So the one where they're digging out the food,
right there, yeah, I see it.
That's the maxillary canine?
Yeah.
It's the upper left maxillary canine. You can see how necrotic and infected it is. And what they're doing is the whole bone, the buccal, the alveolar bone, is so infected that they had to remove that big chunk of bone, so to speak, to get the root out.
So if you had to compare it to, like, a human, what, I mean, you know, just a guess on a scale of 1 to 10, what would the pain be like for that kind of...
Well, like I was saying, when I was sitting there in pain, you didn't want to deal with me. I mean, it's just horrible. It's just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I mean, there are very few pains in the body that rival that type of pain.
And it's constant. It never goes away.
That's absolutely right.
It never goes away.
And then, you know, in this animal, you know, these canine teeth are what they use for ripping their food and tearing
things apart, catching.
And as you said, you even mentioned that there's thoughts that they have sensors in these teeth that they can actually pick up where the jugular vein is on a prey.
Is that unbelievable?
It's amazing.
I mean, it is. They can pick up the heartbeat, how much pressure to put.
Yeah.
It's just things like that are amazing to me.
Yeah, Bob, so watch out, man, because if a lion attacks you, you know you're going to be in trouble, okay? So they're showing this. But, you know, one of the things that I'd like to bring up, because I am so proud of you, and I can say this, you wouldn't say this, but I can say this about you, is, you know, you have gotten really into some specialty work with the dental stuff, and especially implantology. So talk about that a little bit, because I don't know that everybody knows what that is.
I don't even remember how we got involved. I loved it.
Well, it's you. That's how you got involved. You always look like me. You're looking at the next best thing and what we can do to help our animals.
And it's working out. It's a little specialty practice. Implantology is a specialty, but it's very controversial in veterinary medicine. For me, it's not controversial. We can do this, and it's taken years and years to develop my skill or our skill to do this. There are some veterinarians around, a handful of veterinarians around that are involved in implantology, so to speak. But it does, I think it helps a great deal with certain the functional teeth in the dog and cat, the canines in the dog. Now we can even, we're putting implants in canines in cats.
Wow.
Which is... I never thought it was possible.
Yeah,
but it's working out very well, and these implants are just—they're just like in people. In fact, they're working on my mouth right now, putting.
Well, and I've got one in my mouth too. And you know, the thing that's interesting about this to me is, you know, the fact that it's even controversial for veterinary medicine, because I mean, it's a standard of practice in human care, in human dentistry.
Well, you know, the whole crew thinks that dogs and cats can do well without teeth. Well. So can we. We can do well without teeth, but they're very functional.
What's your quality, though, right? But this is what we were talking about.
It's not fun to eat without teeth.
Right.
And, you know, everybody, it's aesthetically, you need your teeth. I mean, that's really important, I suppose. But I will tell you, now that they're working on my mouth and I'm lacking some teeth, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun to eat. You have noodles going everywhere. You can't. I'm telling you, it's just like, it's unbelievable. Until you experience this, you just don't know what it's like. So I think it's if we can do this successfully, and we are, that functionally it's working out so far pretty well.
Yeah. And, you know, just for our listeners, Dr. Mele has spent like a year basically studying with human dentists to do the implant work that he's doing. And really, you know, you're probably just totally groundbreaking in this area as far as that being able to do that. And it's a really pretty amazing situation.
We just can't do it. I mean, it's not offered and honestly, basically, I was involved with the specialty program for a couple times, and it just wasn't for me.
Right.
There were so many other things going on, and they're not looking into this aspect of veterinary dentistry at all. So I had to reach out and take different courses, and I've been studying this for a long time, and I've learned a lot with veterinary specialists also. I mean, absolutely, but in the human specialty side, it's really working out very well for us.
Hey, Doc, just a quick question, Dr. Rocco.
Oh, there you are.
With the advancements in technology we see, I mean, now we have 3D printers that
I know,
things
yeah.
that are coming up. I mean, it seems to me that that's, we had this discussion and people go, oh, you were saying it's unethical to do teeth replacement in an animal. And I'm going, wait a minute, with the advances in technology we have, it's getting less and less expensive, more and more easier. I mean, you can always see it getting cheaper and easier, right?
You know, what's happening now is we're finding that dental implants, I would say 95 to 97%, these implants are integrating into the bone without a question, people and in animals. And now what we're finally finding out is as we're restoring these implants, we're putting crowns on, we're putting bridges on, we're having it done digitally. So what we do is as we take impressions of these after they integrate, we're sending them to labs and they're scanning these things.
Wow.
And they're using computers and printers to design these bridges for us. And they come back with perfect abutments, perfect crowns. It's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer.
It takes the human art form. I remember, you know, long, long ago before I even went to veterinary school, my next door neighbor was a orthodontist and also did a lot of oral surgery. And I actually learned how to carve teeth with him because I was doing jewelry and it was something that I was really fun. I had a fun time with. And he said, you know, come in the lab and I'll teach you how to carve teeth and how we match these up and whatnot. But, you know, there was a lot of artistry involved.
Absolutely.
And not a lot of exactness because we didn't have these digital type printers and scanners and all that stuff.
Excuse me. That's true. And there are technicians out there now that still do wax up and do designing. And they do a wonderful job. But I'll tell you, I mean, and I've done them both ways in animals, but these digital prosthesis that come back to us, and when you set these in and you screw these in and cement these crowns on, they're perfect. And they really retain the soft tissue around the tooth, and that's what's key. Integration is not a problem anymore. I really don't think it is. It's just taking and restoring those.
Sure.
And even if you don't restore these teeth, you can leave this implant in forever. And it really does help maintain our bone quality. We lose some bone,
right?
But we lose less bone than if you have nothing.
Right, yeah. Right. Talk a little bit about in your practice, what's the most common thing that you guys see? I mean, what you know, we're talking about things now that are on cutting, really, really cutting edge stuff. But like, what's the most common malady or problem that you're called on for the dental situation?
Well, periodontal disease, you know, is the most thing.
Talk about that a little bit.
Periodontal disease is it's very difficult. The only way to really help prevent periodontal disease is brushing your teeth. I mean, different types of foods and materials that we put on our mouth help, but you got to brush your teeth to prevent it. But it's an inflammatory disease that starts out very simple. You can go through the stages 1, 2, 3, 4. But it starts out really simple as gingivitis, inflammation, and you start to lose gingival tissue and bone, and then your teeth start to become mobile. And then it's a loss. We have to take them out.
Right.
But now, I mean, we're catching them a little earlier. The only treatment for these is you can do periodontal surgery on a lot of these things, but many times it's just extraction.
Yeah.
And
So the thing that, you know, I like to impress upon our listeners is that a lot of dental, feline and canine dental disease is periodontal. Mm. And so it's not always so obvious to the outside. In fact, you know, I remember when we didn't have dental x-rays. I mean, I don't remember, you know, it's a little bit before the light bulb, I think. But, you know, I can't imagine how much we missed.
Absolutely,
you know,
because
I think the numbers are like 40 to 50%. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. We take dental x-rays of every case.
Right, right.
Because you'd be surprised what you find. You'd be surprised what you find. The crown looks great. The roots look horrible. And then you start probing and you start looking for different things. And we always start off as a simple case. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. But we end up 2 hours later where we find so many complex things in the mouth. It's unbelievable.
So, you know, I think, you know, really now standard of practice in doing regular dentistries has to be, you know, x-rays and you know, we chart all the teeth, you know, basically and do the best we can. Bob's showing a little picture of them, of someone brushing the teeth. You know, one of the things that I like to tell people when they ask for like simple ways, sometimes our dogs and cats do object to the brush.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a big fan of, you know, some white gauze on my finger with some water and then one of the dental flavored dental pastes or even baking soda sometimes.
That's perfect.
But whatever you do, start early with your pets, your dogs and your cats, because the earlier you do this, the better off you're going to be as far as having success with allowing them to let you do this. And like you said, there really is no substitute for that.
It helps. I mean, everything helps a little bit, but you're right. I think just brushing is important, and starting early, getting your finger, a little gauze pad. The most important thing is to rub and get the plaque off. If the plaque stays off, you can really have a healthier mouth. The plaque is the killer. It starts as soon as you get your teeth cleaned at the dentist. As soon as you get walking out the door, the plaque starts.
So right away.
That's why we brush our teeth.
Yeah, that's right. And it is kind of important to make sure you follow up right away. We get a lot of questions about Nyla bones and marrow bones, and I know you and I probably differ a little bit, but I like to recommend them because then they have to go see you when the unfortunate thing happens and they crack a tooth, which doesn't happen all the time, but thank God. But so, you know, since we're both here, your thoughts?
I tell our clients that comes in, you know, if you want to, I recommend not doing it, but if you want to, go ahead, because I'm going to see you more often than
right,
I get. But
right.
I mean, it's just, we see it all the time.
Yeah.
And one of the major teeth that are fractured is the upper fourth premolar when they start to
Which
chew.
Is a very important tooth.
Very important. It's a real big, large tooth.
Yeah.
And this is the one that we see slab fractures in a lot. And it happens with, I keep a Nyla bone in the clinic. I show everybody. It's hard. And bones and, like I say, I don't mind doing the surgery, but it gets a little costly after a while. So
it does.
Keep the Nyla bones and the bones away.
Now, a quick question, Dr. Rocco. What about the...
I keep looking over.
I know, he comes out from nowhere and everywhere. So.
Because a lot of callers have asked, you know, Dr. Randy, what are your opinions on, and I know a lot of it's probably marketing, but all the different things that are marketed that say, you know, feed your dog this once a day and it cleans their teeth and they're the treats and stuff.
I think a lot of that is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does. You know, just getting in there and chewing up the different types of foods and this and that. I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know if there's a lot of research done, but a lot of it's helpful on that. But I think the most important thing is to brush your teeth. But certainly porous food is helpful, different types of soft chew. I mean, it's all helpful, I think.
I think there's, you know, obviously these companies have done a lot of research on this stuff and have tried to work it out as best they can. So we're coming up to a break, but I want to remind everybody, drrandypetvet.com. You can listen and watch live internationally. Make sure that on our new website, we've got articles from Pauly B and myself and latest videos and links to our videos that producer Bob has really, director Bob has worked on and done. You can call into the show. We're going to talk about dental disease for the next half hour or so, and it's 888-520-7297. Perfect situation to get your dental questions answered because we've got the guy here that can do that with a lot of experience and knowledge. Podcasts are on iTunes and under Dr. Randy Pet Vet and Facebook, Twitter. Check it all out. And any suggestions or comments on the show, again, contact us at Dr. Randy Pet Vet. We have an open line. We'd love to hear from you. It's our place where we get our email to answer our questions. We're going to come back with a lot more show, talk a little bit about the dog flu and some other things coming up in future shows, too. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more Radio Pet Vet in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Randy, Radio Pet Vet. drrandypetvet.com. That's where you can find us. Audio and video, it's streaming live. Dr. Rocco, I think you have some people you want to say hello to in New York.
I do. I want to say hello to my son Gianni and his wife Diana and my little grandson Gianni. They're watching this program.
Absolutely.
I hope they're having a great time.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Welcome, guys. Just was in your neighborhood last week. Spent an amazing day at Grand Central Station and walking to Central Park and tried to brave the crowds going out to see. My wife and I have never seen the Statue of Liberty up close, so we did the ferry thing, Rocco, and I will tell you, there were too many masses of people for me.
A lot of people.
We left Ireland where I think we saw more people in Grand Central Station in 1 hour than we saw on the whole island of Ireland, but pretty unbelievable.
I guess you get used to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think you do.
Gianni probably can tell us he does. So
he has a lot of stories.
I know. So, you know, we're talking a lot about dental disease, dental procedures in dogs and cats. We've got Robert on the phone. Why don't we take his question and see if we can help him? Hey, Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you. On your the Dr. Rocco, I just caught the tail end a little while ago of the show where he was talking about how Nyla bone and the other hard bones, cracked the teeth. Well, but I don't know if he said it or not. I wasn't around the radio all that while. What do they use if they can't chew on these hard bones?
You know, you can use, is it Robert?
Robbie.
You can use certain types. Greenies, I think, work real well. They're very chewable, and they're pretty digestible. Sometimes soft rawhides really help kind of rub the teeth a little bit, remove the plaque. But, again, brushing is the most important thing. And I know dogs love to chew on bones. I mean, they do. They love to chew on sticks and anything they can get, rocks or other things. But I will tell you honestly that we do a lot of dental fracture, a lot of dental work on these dogs that come in with fractured premolars, incisors, worn down incisors, from just chewing on tennis balls. They spin the
tennis. That's the thing. Really, most people don't know. No, but tennis balls are like sandpaper for the teeth.
Always,
it's amazing how worn down a dog's tooth can be.
You just look at the incisors, open the, and they're all worn down to the ginger, the gum line,
right?
And it's just and very uncomfortable for the dogs.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable.
Did you, at the beginning when you start talking, did you say greenies?
Yeah, they have these little greenies. You can buy these in most all the pet stores. And quite honestly, years ago, I used to think they were not the greatest things in the world. But I do. I'm seeing a lot of positive results with them, and no real problems at all. But they seem to, as you chew them, they help brush the teeth, I think. But they work out pretty well.
Well, it's just like a little cookie or something.
Yeah,
right?
It is. They come in different sizes, small, medium, and large, and you can get them at different all the pet stores, I believe. They're called greenies.
Well, how does that work? I mean, the ingredients clean the teeth, or
I think there's some chlorophyll in there, and I also think that they're just the consistency of them. As they start chewing them, they break down real easy, and as they're breaking down, they start to basically like brush your teeth. Not like brushing, but they do have not an abrasive action, but a nice cleaning action.
Do you give it your dog once a day or a couple?
I think
times?
they'll get happy with it, maybe just about once a day.
You don't want to be too often, Robert, because then we're dealing with weight issues on some of those things too. So.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, and that's okay. I got to deal with that.
You
got to
keep
other
me straight.
Side. I got to keep them on the straight and narrow here, Robert. But yeah, I got to be a little careful because they'll put on weight with some of these things, but there are good and bad products in that world too. Like one of the things that we talk a little bit about is the CET type chew, which is a potato starch rawhide, but it has a little chlorhexidine in it, which we both know is kind of an antiseptic to the mouth, and so those kinds of things. But that's a great question, Robert. We really appreciate you calling in.
Hey, docs, could both of you respond? You know, there's what's it called, the As Seen on TV? There's a huge one that runs, and they have the spray, and they're supposed to spray it in your dog's mouth, and it's supposed to mix with the saliva and help break down the plaque. Do you guys have any feedback on that?
There are a couple of those kind of products out there. Leba is one of them. I see advertised in our journals, and Plaque Away and stuff like
Plaque
that.
Away. There's just so many different things.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I even forget. What's those little capsules now that we were forget?
One TDC.
Yeah.
You told me about
them. I know, and I forgot what they are.
Yeah.
We have those, and they do seem to work pretty well. They're just for to keep inflammation under in check. But and you squirt them in the dog's mouth. They like to chew on the little plastic, and they swallow them. But they seem to help a little bit too.
You know what I think the advantage of those is, and so this is an esterized omega-3 that's a natural anti-inflammatory. But what I think is the advantage is again that I tend to make sure they pinprick the capsule and rub it on the gum tooth line. And so now they're rubbing again, and again, I know it's not the cleansing action that you would get from a brush or a gauze, but I think it not only makes people aware of what their dog and cat's mouth look like, but that they're getting some manipulation in there too.
It's amazing to me how much you know.
No, it's not at all.
I'm serious about that.
This is the common sense stuff we were talking about earlier.
Common sense, but I mean, you really have a working knowledge of everything.
Well, I try to because I got guys like
I'm
you that are friends
that.
Of mine and teach me. You taught me about that. Capsule.
Well, I forgot about it.
I know. It's a wonderful thing. It actually, we do a lot of that because it is really a wonderful product. And, you know, it doesn't replace the brushing that you talked about and whatnot, but it certainly does bring. And when we get animals that have things like stomatitis or gingivitis where they really have some bad inflammation, using those, and the other thing that we use a lot of times also is ubiquinol or CoQ10. It really seems to settle those areas down. But I will tell you, and Dr. Malay can tell you this also, sometimes when you see that really bad gingivitis or stomatitis, there's GI disease, there's gastrointestinal disease going on in your animal besides. There's some root of that many, many times.
Probably true.
Yeah.
Probably true.
Doctors.
Yeah. Ma'am, what's happening over there?
My boyfriend's dog loves tennis balls.
Yeah.
And I was just informed by you that these are not good for their teeth.
Well, it's not that they're not good for their teeth. It's just that they will wear their teeth down.
What about like those Kong balls and stuff that they make? Are those better?
I think they probably are.
Yeah.
They're not spinning around and they don't have that abrasiveness on like a and tennis balls get worse as they go on. And you can always tell when they when a patient comes in and you look in the mouth, you ask the owner, "Do you have a tennis ball?" "Yep, we do," and he loves tennis balls.
Yep. It's a typical lab golden retriever that comes in with like flat off teeth
and
do they get root exposure with that eventually?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If they do it, if it's slow enough, the dentin heals over and they seem to be okay. But as soon as it reaches the gingival margin and below, that's when we start to get the inflammation and discomfort.
Yeah, but I think the Kong toys are great. I mean, mm-hmm. we've talked about that. Pauly B likes to recommend them because they're a really good self-soothing device. You know, we talk about putting a little bit of your dog food in the Kong toy and a dollop of
mm-hmm.
peanut butter or almond butter and freezing them and having a couple of them and rotating them out. And you want to see a dog busy for an hour or two, they like licking that dollop out of there and getting to their dog food. It's a very cool thing.
The spray can cheese in the middle of a Kong toy works good,
too. Oh, God. You, the natural guy, the healthy guy, and now you're talking about cheese whiz.
But it's cheese
only thing that
dog.
That's good for is Philly cheesesteaks. You know, God, and anybody doesn't understand that, I'll explain that to you, being a Philly boy. But, any of those kinds of things work really well. But they are, you know, a lot of times our animals are left, you know, to their own devices while we're off at work and whatnot. And it really is, for a lot of animals, nice to have something that's self-soothing to help, you know, let them work with it. So, Reed, I think that's a much better choice.
Yeah, we bring our little dog to work, Kathy and I, every day. And every morning, that dog looks for that thing. And we put a little stuff, and he's all over the place.
Yep.
It takes care of it. He just loves it.
And, Dr. Melee is really good. I didn't plant this with him. But that was
great
segue. Are
you sure you didn't tell him at breakfast about that?
Yeah, because one of the things that's trending right now on the internet is bringing your dogs to work and how a lot of IT companies are now allowing them to come to work and how the level of people's attention is so much better and their relaxation level and their creativity level. We're going to talk about that a little bit. There's some pet etiquette, that's involved with bringing your animal to work, you know, making sure that it's well vaccinated, that there's, you know, insurance and other types of things that we'll talk about down the road. But thank you for segueing. That was perfect.
Yeah,
I didn't even plant that with you.
I said that, you know, at one point I said I would never, ever bring my dog to work. Never. And Mackie's there every day.
Yep.
Every day. And we got to be careful because he'll drive the clients away.
Well,
I mean, if he's out looking around, somebody's in the door, he's after him.
Yeah.
And so we got to run after him.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, since we're missing Pauly B, he's in Florida, I'll do my rant about that. Because I've talked to Doc. When I grew up in New Jersey, one of my doctors raised Irish wolfhounds. He had like eight of them at a time. I mean, that was his life, was raising them.
I hope he had a big house.
Big house. It was him and his dogs, no wife. And he just, I mean, they were his family. And when you walked in the door, he was a ophthalmologist with his own clinic. When you walked in the door, there'd always be one of them would come walking out behind the counter. And I mean, Irish wolfhounds are like, they're like miniature ponies.
Yeah.
Would walk out and greet the kids and the adults. And it was so amazing, the interaction with the clients. So,
clients seem to, they enjoy that. You know, they always want to come in and see your dog. And that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of clinics have clinic cats, and they spend a lot of time out there greeting people and whatnot. So it's really a neat thing, and it's a good thing. I want to, Robert, do you have something you want?
I was actually just reading about an office that has a cat sanctuary, and you can check out cats for 10 minutes and take them back to your desk.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Pretty great.
I know.
The future.
So Dr. Rocco and I were talking about kind of advances that are happening in canine and feline dentistry. And you know, people get, I think, will be blown away by you talking about some of these things that you're working with. So talk a little bit about some of the new things that you're working on and working with and that are being done.
I love it. I think in human medicine, the cone beam CT is, again, I say the changer in oral surgery. It's unbelievable what what this can do to the skull, to design the skull, 3D, 3D printing. And we have so many different types of biomaterials that we're using, bone grafting materials, different types of allograft, xenograft from the same species, from another species. And now we're getting involved. In fact, I'm going to be starting to do some clinical studies on a new bone grafting material that has certain type of molecules attached to it that act like a substance called BMP, which is bone morphogenic protein, And this really is the key in developing new bone, long bone healing with oral surgery, back surgery. In fact, if you take this BMP, and it's a liquid, it's going to be a little different on the grafting, but if you take this and you implant it in your abdomen, under the skin, it'll form bone.
Wow.
And that's it's morphogenic. It just it takes the cells and they change over to osteoblasts and they start to lay down bone.
That is so cool.
And it's scary too, because a lot of times with if they're doing back surgery
with
this, it just it grows too much bone.
Yeah.
And you have to be real careful. But that's coming around. Fibrin, we make our own fibrin from animals in the clinic, and growth fat. I mean, all of this is being incorporated into our practices now, and it's and the results are fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And I want to say, not all practices. So, I mean, you know, thank you. So, and that's what I'm trying to say, though, is that, you know, you're so cutting edge at East Point Pet Clinic that you're doing these kinds of things, and people need to know that you're here. And, you know, he won't say this again, and I'm going to tell you, but there are people who fly in to see you from Seattle and those types of places. And it's, you know, it's really a feather for Tucson's cap in our veterinary world that you're doing that, and thank you for that. That's really cool.
It's always amazing to me. I would do that. I mean, if I had to have something done, and
sure.
And if I had to have something done, some specific oral surgery done, I know some people, and I would go. I would make a trip there to do it. But we have some wonderful people here in town too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And do you give recommendations, Doc? Like, if somebody wanted to call from somewhere in the country or Canada, or can you tell them where to go to look for somebody that does the type of things you do? Or
oh, absolutely. We see a lot of referral people in from all over the country, and then to follow up, we refer them to certain people that are doing this kind of work. And don't get me wrong, veterinary dental specialists are fantastic. I mean, they're a certain part of the group that just do wonderful stuff, and I've learned so very much from them. But this type of bone augmentation and biomaterials, it's just starting to get going, and I can't see it. It's wonderful stuff,
yeah.
Especially for animals.
Well, yeah, and you know, in our clinic where we deal with so much degenerative joint disease and working on rehabilitation, and we use this technology, pulse signal magnetic therapy, which basically, you know, the gentleman who started this, Dr. Richard Markle, who's been on the show from Spain and recently, got 24 patents at Johns Hopkins University. He's a German physicist, but he's also an MD, on pulsing this magnet to be able to create chondrocyte regrowth, cartilage cells. And he has 24 patents in the United States for this technology, but it's just a small piece of things like platelet-rich plasma that you and I have talked about in the past, and all of this bone regeneration and helping these joints out. It's really exciting. It's an exciting time.
It is exciting. That's why people do so well with these. They have to rebuild entire mouths. I mean, people have been wearing dentures for a long time, and if you're wearing them 20 or 30 years, you've got absolutely no bone in your mouth, no bone. And it's quite a task to rebuild that bone. But with the materials that we have today and the different type of bone grafting, the plates and different things that we use, they can do it successfully.
It's really, really amazing. You know, the days of George Washington having wooden teeth are probably over, I guess, huh?
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
I told my wife the other day when she was having a problem with one of her teeth that maybe we were better off in those days, but I was totally kidding, of course.
But you should see some of the research that I have done. Some of these people come into their oral surgeons after 40 years having these beginning implants put in. I mean, these wires and these plates and these blades in their mouth, and they're still functional. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're still functional 40 years ago.
That's amazing. Talk a little bit about, we talked about a case at breakfast about a hole in the roof of the mouth on this animal. Talk a little bit about that dog, because that's a really, really interesting case. And what it does, again, and I can say this because he won't do it, is it shows basically how, I think both of us, look at helping our patients and eventually our clients, because you know, this was a situation where you had to go way beyond the norm to get this thing to work. So talk a little bit about what happened with that animal.
It was a very, very nice dog.
Yeah.
Jack Russell Terrier. And
which is not always consistent.
Yeah, but they're a little wild.
Yeah.
But this one's wild, but nice.
Yeah.
But this little dog has had multiple surgeries done, and for mild stomatitis, bad teeth, and so on. And as a result of the surgeries, and this happens to everyone, as a result of the full mouth extraction, he developed a infection, osteomyelitis, and a hole in the hard palate. And it was repaired, maybe tried to be repaired 4, 5, 6 times, including me. I mean, I tried once with this. I was the third one in line, tried once, which wasn't successful. And I knew after that time that I tried it that there was going to be no way that we can do a proper rotational flap or cover this hole up. So we started doing a little bit of research and some design, and we finally came up with we took impressions. This dog had no teeth, edentulous. And we took impressions of his upper arcade, lower, sent it off to a specialty lab in California, Precision Ceramics, who the guy that owns is a friend of mine.
Sure.
And he developed, with this digital work that we're doing, this special plate, special design plate, 4 little holes in each corner, and a bulb to attach to the plate that was fused to the plate, that we replaced in the hole of the hard palate.
So it actually fit up into the hole.
Fit up into the hole.
Okay.
And then the plate was secured to the hard palate with mini screws, mini cortical screws. And
right.
it was a, I mean, it, we're following this. And
yeah.
It's been about 8 to 10 weeks. And it's, who knows, but this is doing so well. I mean, this dog is putting on weight. He's happier. He used to eat his food and blow food out his nose.
Of course, because he had that oronasal fistula.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very interesting case, and the owners of this dog, the guardians of this dog, are just very, very happy, and they've been through hell with this. I mean, it's been really tough on everybody.
I'm sure.
But so far, so good.
So far, so good, huh?
And it's just a, you know, you think a little bit about it. The labs are so important, so helpful. In designing these things for us, they have such great ideas and great people that it's a team. Is exactly what it is. It's a team effort when we do these, but it's so far so good.
Yeah. So you know, we talk about maintenance and maintenance health, and we talked a lot about brushing. We talked about some of the dental things that are out there for help. You know, one of the things that has happened in veterinary medicine is when people like me stop talking about vaccinating every year, and we look at you know, titers and things that we're doing. You know, a lot of our clients who are guardians for their pets, like you say, aren't apt to take their animals to the veterinarian every year to get even a wellness check. And we talk about this on this show, but at, you know, the bigger animals at 5 and 6, they're already middle age. The small animals at 7 or 8 are now getting middle age to older age. And many times, dental disease is the thing that really crops up on these animals that doesn't get checked. And it amazes me that when an animal comes in to see me, that maybe we haven't done such a good job on making sure they understand that it's great to have that yearly, or as an animal gets older, even biannually check. That this is one thing that we could head off early if we catch it early. But, you know, they'll come in and we have these terrible odors to their mouth, and you know, the maybe some behavioral changes or maybe weight loss, and it's all related to their mouth. And talk a little bit about the importance of this, because I think it's really, people need to hear about it.
I think preventative care, I think examining your patients routinely are real important. I know that what we do a little bit differently, I know, than you do, is you do titers and are real controlled with your back. We do vaccinations every year, and I think a lot of the reason that we do that is to get the patient in, just to do a good examination. And part of the examination certainly is an oral exam. And you can't find everything, but you can certainly find some things that lead you in that direction. And it's so important to do that. And because dental disease is one of the most important things that we see. And like, as you say, Randy, it leads to other things that take place. So, and the animals are certainly are happier.
Absolutely.
When they're when their mouth is taken care of.
So we talked, you and I talked a lot about implants, and talk a little bit about what's the process for something like this, Dr. Maley. How long does that take? What steps are involved in that typically?
You know, you can implants. It's a long discussion.
I'm sure.
And I mean, there's immediate implants that you can put in right after surgery, right after extraction, if the case warrants. I mean, if we don't have a real bad periodontal problem, we have the bone available, we can put them in right away, which is excellent because then we don't have to go through a couple anesthetic procedures. But usually when we put them in, we have to wait 4 to 5 months while they integrate. Again, a lot of clients, I always say guardians because that's a new term.
Yeah, no,
now.
Pet parents. I said somebody who's a pet parent the other day, and they got mad at me. So it's I don't know what.
You know,
we're
it's like saying Merry Christmas.
I know.
But
yeah,
I'd get off on something else.
Yeah.
Then we have them come back, and then if we're going to restore them, we have to do impressions,
mm-hmm.
and then we have to send them to the lab. It usually takes two anesthetic procedures, which some people don't like, some veterinary specialists don't like, but 2 to 3 anesthetic procedures, and total, I would say, about 8 to 12 months.
So it's a long time.
It is.
But it's real worthwhile. We've seen these animals and how well they've done, and it's just pretty amazing. Hey, I got to thank you. Thank you for being here. An hour goes like amazingly quick.
Thank you.
You know, Dr. Rocco Maley from East Point Veterinary Clinic. How do people get in touch with you?
We're online. East
okay.
Point, whatever we are, East Point. PetClinic.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Our website. Yeah, there it is.
It's linked on our Facebook.
Oh, good. And it's on our Facebook. Thank you for coming and speaking to us. It's great that the Lion Aslan kind of led us into this conversation, but it's always a great conversation for people to hear. Coming up, another whole hour of Radio Pet Vet. Your questions, your calls are very important to us, 888-520-7297. And remember, we are streaming live at Dr. Randy Pet Vet audio and video. Check us out. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. We have a lot more information coming your way and a lot more show. Dr. Rocco Maley from East Point Pet Clinic, thank you so much for being here. It was a great, great hour. We really appreciate it. Very, very informative
and
really fun.
Thanks a lot.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.